Good morning. Good to see you all this weekend. It's good to be here. It's a beautiful day, and thank the Lord it's not raining. Yeah, you know the saying, rain, go away, come again another day so I can play golf? That's the motto that we need to be living by. But before we get started, let's have a prayer. God, we love you. We are blessed. This morning, remind us of that. Remind us that all that we need, we have. Remind us where your heart is tuned, because we want to move towards that. God, this Memorial Day weekend, we remember. We remember those who have lost lives in service. We remember those who are making sacrifices. We remember those who've made the ultimate sacrifice. So God, help us to remember. And as we read stories, as we talk about subjects that people have been talking about for hundreds and hundreds of years, may we gain some sense of clarity so that we can become better disciples of you. We love you, and we thank you for all you've done for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we are in week four of our sermon series. We've been going through the seven deadly sins. And one of the things that we've discovered so far is that these sins, as they're called, they're actually things that in some societies, or most societies, I would say our societies, are normal ways to act. But if followers of Jesus can prevent us from being the better disciples. For example, last week we talked about, week before, talked about greed, right? There is no law in our country that says you can't be greedy. Matter of fact, it's kind of encouraged, right? We live in a capitalistic society. Get all you can. Get what's yours. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, as we go along following Jesus, Jesus isn't a greedy Jesus. He's a generous Jesus. And if we want to somehow be in a relationship with this God who is a generous God, then we need to somehow tune ourselves to that. Last week we talked about lust, the desires. And there's nothing wrong with having desires. It's what do you desire? There are desires of the flesh. The desires that our senses, you know, that I can see, taste, touch, smell. But then there's the desires of the Spirit. The desires of oneness, of unity. The desires of loving our neighbor as ourselves. These are the desires that God said. It's like, which desires is God after? And those desires every day are what we need to be after. You got to say this. Every day, maybe our prayer as we wake up should be, where are you at today? Where are you at? I know you're out moving something, so help me to see where you are at. So today, what we're going to talk about, one that I think, man, this one is tough. It's tough for me. We're going to talk about wrath. We're going to talk about giving people what they deserve. Amen? We're going to talk about vengeance. We're going to talk about revenge. Anybody ever wanted to do that? I know I have. Yeah. Wrath is this thing in which we give people exactly what they deserve. You do something to me, guess what? I've got to pay you back. I got to do this. But here's the thing. Jesus comes along and he debunks the whole idea. Because it feels good getting even, doesn't it? Doesn't it? So here's what Jesus says in Matthew. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You've heard it said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So what is Jesus saying here? You've heard it said that if somebody does something to you, what? You do something to them. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other. Also, so what is Jesus' view of wrath and vengeance and all that? Jesus is like not really interested in that. So here's what I want to do today. Because ultimately, here's what I believe the whole call of Jesus is as a response to wrath and vengeance and revenge. The response that Jesus is, turn the other cheek. Don't pay back evil for evil. Don't retaliate. Don't give. But then the question is, well, what do I do with that person who just wronged me? And Jesus' answer would be what? Forgive them. Right? So it starts with somebody has wronged me. My natural reaction is I'm going to get even settle the score with you. Jesus says, nope, first stop. Stop. Drop that. You've got something in your hand. Drop that. And then ultimately, we need to move to forgive this person and let them off the hook. So today, what I'm going to talk about is, first of all, how do we just step back and say, right? It's that first step. Before we can even get to forgiveness, it's like, I'm not going to respond with evil for evil. I saw you on Facebook, but I'm not going to type something in response, right? How do we get there? And then Wednesday, and this is just kind of FYI, Wednesday, we took a little break from our podcast, and we kind of started it back up where we're interviewing some people. I want to interview people on their discipleship journey as we learn to be better disciples. Did anybody hear Chad last week? Yeah. Didn't he do a good job? If you hadn't, you can get on the podcast and hear Chad. He talks about his story through COVID and how it changed him. These things change you. This Wednesday, I have a good friend of mine who is a pastor that is going to join us, and he's going to talk about forgiveness. He's going to talk about the steps of forgiveness, the steps we have to take. And here's why he knows better than I do, because he has a story that he has had to show forgiveness to somebody that definitely did not deserve it. And here's what's interesting. Everybody in this room knows his story. So today, we're going to talk about how do we drop it? How do we first say I'm not going to hit back? And then Wednesday, I've got a guy that knows a lot better than me on, okay, now that we've done that, how do we let this go? Because forgiveness isn't for somebody else. Who's it for? Yeah, it is for me. So, first of all, when it comes to wrath, when it comes to revenge, when it comes to vengeance, number one thing, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work. When you come into it, I'm going to settle the score with them. Oh, really? What's that score look like? What's the final score look like? Because ultimately what it is, you hit me, I hit you, we go back and we go forth and we go back and we go forth, and nothing ever gets accomplished. Nobody wins. Have you ever heard of a Twitter war? You heard of Twitter? Do you know that there's, anybody heard of Twitter? You can tweet on Twitter, but you can't, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, there's people that get into Twitter wars. Let me give you an example. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. Anybody kept up with their Twitter war? Anybody heard of it? They're two golfers. They're multimillionaires. And Sunday at the PGA, they had a public blow-up. And so now they're on Twitter. One is condemning this one. The other's responding. They're going back and forth. And what you find out is there's a history between the two. They've been doing this back and forth, and now all of a sudden it becomes public. And you're reading it, and you're like, are y'all 30 or 3? Right? Are you? And it's just like, you said this to me, so I've got to respond. And you said this to me, and I've got to respond. And guess who's winning? Nobody. But guess who's losing? They are. So when we participate in this, I'm going to get even with you. I'm going to settle the score. I'm going to give you what you deserve. First of all, stop, because it's not going to work. You'll never get even. You'll never settle the score. You'll never get square with the house. And secondly, you can do a lot of damage along the way. One of the greatest feuds in American history is between the Hatfields and the McCoys. Anybody heard of them? Hatfields and McCoys. Yeah, they've become kind of a tagline in American history. And the Hatfields and McCoys were two families that lived across the West Virginia-Kentucky state line. And they didn't like each other. And for 35 years, they had this feud. Well, you did something to me, I'm going to do something to you. Think about it, for 35 years, it's just you hit me, I'm hitting you back. 35 years! And it escalated. Well, you stole my cow, I'm going to steal two of your cows. Well, you stole two of my cows, I'm going to steal four of yours. You stole four of my cows, I'm going to steal your daughter. You steal my daughter, I'm going to shoot your son. You see how it just gets bigger? And it did this. And finally, you know how the feud ended? The feud ended by the government coming in and said, we've had enough of this. They came in and arrested them. And it ended with one of the families gathering around the house of another and just shooting it up, trying to execute every person in there. And they come and they're arrested, and one of them is actually hung by the government, and then a whole bunch of others are thrown in jail for the rest of their life. And you know what's interesting about this whole story? There's lots of things about, you know, how did this feud start? And there were some that were on the Union and some of the Confederacy back in the Civil War, blah, blah, blah. But what they say now is the light that really sparked the feud was a dispute over whose property a certain pig was. Now, I like my bacon. And I want to keep my pork. I understand. But a dispute over whose pig this pig was ultimately leads to death, murder, execution. It leads to life and back and forth. Number one, wrath, revenge, vengeance does not work. And number two, it can be extremely damaging to those we love the most sometimes. In the book of 1 Thessalonians is a letter that Paul, he writes to Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Paul says this. This is about us. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, your destiny, you as humans, your purpose, who you were created to be, was not this. When you, as a person, participate in wrath and vengeance and even in the score, and I'm going to settle it, you are being something that God did not create you to be. You are participating in something that God did not call you to participate in. And we've talked about this a lot around here. You want to find a miserable person, find someone that is not being who God created them to be. God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Paul's like, whoa, this wrath thing, that is not who you were created to be. Your job is simply to take care of you, worry about your own salvation. In the book of Romans, he says this. Paul says this, chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourself. Somebody else say you don't go after it. But leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And this is a quote from a Old Testament, Deuteronomy, where Jesus, you hear a lot, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Now, I've come, since I've been studying this stuff, to think differently about what this means. When God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Because here's the way I used to envision it. You do something to me, I'm not going to pay you back. But I'm going to enjoy God doing it. Am I right? Yeah. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Okay, well, I'm not going to do it. But boy, I'm going to sit back and watch God just take care of you and give you what you deserve. But then it doesn't happen. And here's what I think God means when he says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. When we first became parents, we were not perfect parents. And we're still not there. I remember talking to a friend of mine when we had our first child. And he said, I ain't gonna lie to you. There's gonna be times when you wonder how these kids are still alive. Like, how did we? And said, that's when the grace of God came. You're gonna say, thank you, Lord, for my mess up and them surviving this situation. And I remember the first time I experienced that is Anna was two, and she was just barely bebopping along, and Sarah was, and she could, I don't even know if she was crawling, she was little, and it was PE, we call it pre-Emma. And so I was cooking dinner, I was prepping dinner, getting ready to cook it and everything, and I was chopping up some vegetables, it's probably bacon, but I'm going to say vegetables just for the story. I don't remember exactly what it is. So I put the knife down, and I washed my hands, something, I turned around, and the knife was gone. Huh. And I look, and standing there in the middle of the kitchen is a little two-year-old with a diaper, nothing else, got a little bottle in one hand and a knife in the other hand. Now, let me ask you a question. What good's going to happen? Can anything good come out of that? Think in your mind, just place anything good. Can anything good come out of a two-year-old having a knife in the middle of the kitchen? I don't think so. Can anything bad come from that? Oh, yeah. There is a lot of bad that can come to that. And so I kind of moved slowly to her, and she would just big smile on her face. And I grabbed her, and I got the knife out of her hand, and I set her down, and I said, this is Dad's. And I pointed to her bottle. I said, this is yours. But this is Dad's. This is, okay, you can have this, but this you cannot have. And so she kind of said, Dad's. This is Dad's. Because you with a knife is nothing good is coming out of it, but give it to me and let me have it. When God says, vengeance is mine, I think he's saying the exact same thing. This belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you, because when you try to show wrath and vengeance and revenge, it's about as productive as a two-year-old with a knife. You don't know what you're doing. Nothing good can come out of it, but a lot of bad can come out of it. And relinquish our sense of getting even and settling the score. Because it can be frustrating sometimes. It can be frustrating when we say, okay, God, all right, I'm not going to do it. But you need to take care of this person because there's some bad things going on. Remember the story of Jonah? We talked about Jonah a few years ago. The story of Jonah is a story of a man who is angry because God will not punish his enemies. The city of Nineveh has done terrible, evil things to Jonah's people. Murder, kidnapping, killing. You think of it, they've done it. And God's like, hey, I want you to go talk to them because I really want them to turn and I really want them to experience my forgiveness. And Jonah's says, that's offensive. I want you to hear what Jonah says after God refuses to punish Jonah's enemies, even though they deserve it. They did some terrible things. Here's what Jonah's doing. Jonah's doing what Dewan usually does. He prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish. Remember, he went the other way at first at the beginning. For I knew that you were a gracious God. And you are merciful. You're slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And you're ready to relent from punishing. I can relate to Jonah. God, why aren't you said you'd even the score for me. And God's like, not really interested. You know what I am interested in? That person who wronged you. I'm interested in redemption. I'm interested in resurrection. I'm interested in bringing new life, repentance in them, more than I am punishing them. One of the most offensive things that we can have sometimes is God is more interested in forgiving our enemies than we are. God is not near as interested in punishing our enemies as we are. I have a friend who's a preacher. And he's always like, every sermon you got to say there's good news. What's the good news about God not punishing our enemies, right? What's the good news about God not settling the score? Here's the good news. God's not near as interested in punishing you as your enemies are. God is not near as interested in giving you what you deserve as your enemies are. You see how that works? Just as we have been the recipient of grace, love, forgiveness, that God, despite our sinfulness, still died for us and still loves us and still forgives us. And when we can kind of get into that, for me anyway, it comes a lot easier for me to do the same for somebody else. Who's that person? A, maybe your first thought is, well, I'm going to get them back. Drop the knife, two-year-old. We need to drop the knife because we're dealing in business we have no business dealing in. God's like, it doesn't belong to you. So first of all, maybe we just need to say, you know what? I'm not going to respond this time. I'm not going to retaliate this time. Maybe just we start there. That's a good place to start. And then we move from there to, you know what? I'm going to quit being like Jonah and sitting around waiting for God to give them what they deserve. Okay, God, I'm not going to do it, but you're going to. Okay, maybe we start there. And then after that, then it's the process of forgiving them. And you know what that does? That brings life. That brings life. I hope everybody has opportunity to hear my friend's story on Wednesday. Because one of the things you're going to notice that I noticed when I was talking to him was just the life in his voice. And I'm free. I mean, maybe Jesus knew what he's talking about after all. Maybe Jesus, do you want to be free? You want to be who God created us to be? I do. And it first of all starts with me dropping my need to be the judge. In the Bible, God, they refer to God as a judge a lot. You know why? I think part of the reason is to let us know we're not. That is not your world. That is not your business. I've called you to go out and love and forgive each other. Now, this is a hard thing to do because that's what we're taught. We're taught, hey, you know, somebody does this to you, you get them back. But there's another way. There's a better way. There's a way that doesn't leave carnage. There's a way that does work. And the way that works is following the life of Christ through, I'm not going to participate in this because this is making me angry. This is binding me up and I want to be free. So the ways in which we need to drop the knife, let us drop the knife. The ways we need to say, I'm not responding, let us not respond. The first step to healing and forgiveness. Let's pray. God, oh, we get frustrated. People hurt us, people wound us, people stab us in the back, people betray us, and our first reaction is we're going to give them what they deserve, and God, remind us that we are meddling with dangerous stuff that we have no business meddling with, and it's not going to win, it's not going to work, and ultimately what's going to happen, we're going to be doing more damage, and we're going to be frustrated, and God, this life that you called us to be a part of, this abundant life you offered, is nowhere in that. So God, in the ways we need to stop, take a deep breath, and not respond, help us to do that. We love you so much, and you've given us grace, and you haven't given us what we deserve. For that, we say thank you. So help us to do the same for each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.